Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you had been there to see the infant Jesus, what would you have seen? And what would you have thought about this child? If you had seen the shepherds hurrying into Bethlehem and had followed to see what they were so excited about, you wouldn't have seen angels or halos in the stable that night, just a carpenter, a young woman, and her baby, wrapped up in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, an animal's feeding trough. Sometime later, probably weeks or months later, if you had seen magi from the east coming into Bethlehem and had followed to see where they were going, you would have seen that they came bearing gifts that were fit for a king. But the one who they gave those gifts to certainly would not have looked majestic or royal. It would have been that same ordinary looking child from that same ordinary seeming family. And what if you had been there to witness the events recorded in this morning's gospel reading? 40 days after Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem. They came there to satisfy two requirements of Jewish ceremonial law. First, offer the sacrifice prescribed for women who had recently given birth. And second, to present Mary's firstborn son to the Lord. That much was pretty routine. It's what a devout Jewish family at that time would do. But what then happened at the temple that day was anything but routine. The elderly man Simeon took the infant Jesus into his arms and saying that in this child he was seeing that light and salvation had been sent from God for all people. It was a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to God's people, Israel. Yet if you had been there to witness this and had taken a close look at that child whom Simeon sang such glorious things about, what would you have seen? He would have looked very much like any other 40-day-old baby being brought to the temple. Just as Isaiah had prophesied about the Savior, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. If you had been there, you also would have been able to tell that his family did not seem to be especially prestigious, or at least that they were not very well off financially. The Old Testament laws for Israel said that 40 days after giving birth, the mother was to present to the Lord a year-old lamb and a pigeon or dove, or, if she could not afford a lamb, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And Luke tells us that Mary and Joseph brought that less expensive offering, the one for those who could not afford a lamb. So if you had been there in the temple that day, nothing really would have stood out to you as being especially remarkable either about this child or about his family. Nothing, that is, except the amazing welcome and praise that this child received that day. So why were the shepherds from the fields outside Bethlehem in such awe of this newborn baby? Why did the magi from the east bow down in reverence before him? And in today's reading, why did Simeon praise him so extravagantly? Because they believed what the Lord had revealed to them, and therefore did not judge by appearances, but instead walked by faith. Through angelic messengers, the Lord had told the shepherds that to them was born that day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And so they believed, even when there was nothing in the appearance of the infant Jesus that would have drawn them to him. Through a guiding star and by the words of Old Testament prophecy, God had led the Magi to Bethlehem to acknowledge Jesus as the newborn king, the promised Messiah. Again, there was nothing in the appearance of Jesus or the circumstances they found him in that would give any hint of his greatness. But the Magi had the word of God, and in that word they trusted. So they bowed down and worshiped the young, ordinary-looking child they had been led to, and offered him their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And at Jesus' presentation in the temple, we're told by Luke that the Holy Spirit had promised Simeon that he would not die before he had seen the coming of the promised Messiah. And that when Jesus was brought to the temple, the Holy Spirit led Simeon there so that he would see the infant Jesus as that Messiah whom he had been waiting for and whom he had been promised. So what Simeon could not perceive with his eyes, he saw by faith as he trusted God's word to him. What we see in these examples is that the only right way to know God is for him to reveal himself to us. And when God does reveal himself to us, what we see is Jesus. What we see is not what we might have expected, not someone who looks impressive by worldly standards, but someone who comes in humility and lowliness. For the Lord has revealed himself as someone who is seen not by looking towards palaces, but rather by looking down into an animal's feeding trough, or by looking up to an old rugged cross. The temptation for a man is to form our own ideas of what we think God ought to be like, and to then judge him based on whether he meets the standards that we have dreamt up for him. But as we see in the shepherds and the Magi and Simeon, what we should be doing is looking at Jesus to see what God is really like, and then that letting that revelation of God change how we think. They saw that the Savior had come as a lowly, vulnerable child, and so they praised that child. About 33 years later, Christians were ridiculed by many for worshiping a crucified God. But the followers of Christ saw in him that we have a Lord who loved us and gave himself into death for us. And so they gladly worshiped Christ crucified. Today, too, it might seem to some people that we are wasting our time here, as we worship a God who doesn't come down and give us visible displays of his majesty and his power, but who instead comes to us quietly and peacefully in the outwardly unimpressive, ordinary means of words on a page, water from a font, bread and wine from an altar. Outwardly, these things don't look any more impressive than, say, a baby in an animal's feeding trough, or a man bleeding and dying on a cross. But this is how God has promised to be with us today. And so we gladly receive him and praise him as he is, as he graciously comes to us today in his holy word and sacraments. That day in the temple, Simeon spoke about the widely differing responses that Jesus would receive. As Simeon said to Mary, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And indeed, ever since then, the thoughts of many hearts have been revealed in their response to Jesus. As some, like Simeon, have seen in Jesus the light of salvation for all people, while others have closed their eyes to that light. Ultimately, on the cross, Jesus' opponents tried to extinguish that light. And just as Simeon had said, when that happened, When Mary saw that happening to her son and her Savior, it felt to Mary like her own soul was being pierced with a sword. That day at Calvary, just as Simeon had said, the thoughts of many hearts were revealed. But even more importantly for us, that day at Calvary, the heart of God was more fully revealed than ever before. For it is in the cross of Jesus Christ that we see how long and wide and high and deep is the love of Christ for us. So if you want to know what God is like, don't try to imagine what you think God must be like or what you think he ought to be like. But rather, take a close look at him where he has come and revealed himself to us. Look to the ordinary-looking infant born to Mary and see that you have a God who humbled himself and became one of us, all in order to save us. Look to the bleeding and dying man on the cross of Calvary and see that you have a God who willingly gave himself into death for you, so that you can have life in him and have it abundantly. Turn to the pages of Scripture where God reveals himself to you today, and learn there that you have a God who will never leave you or forsake you, a God who will be there to strengthen you through good times and bad, a God who forgives all your sins, and who has prepared a place for you in paradise. See in the person of Jesus Christ that that is what God is like. And know that because of this humble, self-sacrificing Lord and Savior whom we are so blessed to have, forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours as his free gift to you. And therefore, you can be at peace. When Simeon saw the infant Jesus and knew that in him he was seeing salvation, Simeon then sang, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Having seen salvation in the person of Jesus Christ, Simeon knew that he could now depart from this life in peace. And that same peace that Simeon had is God's gift to all who believe. Gentile believers like the Magi, Jewish believers like the shepherds, and all who believe today. All believers in Christ can have peace in their souls from knowing that they are at peace with God, because Christ our Savior has come and made peace, as he made peace for us by his atoning death for us. So because of Jesus, we have peace with God, and that peace which we do now have with God is also a peace that now helps to shape our relationships with one another and brings a measure of peace into those relationships. As Paul puts it in today's epistle reading, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body." Amen. The words of Simeon's song probably sound familiar to you. "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace." Because we often sing those words in our worship right after receiving the Lord's Supper. And why do we sing those words at that particular time. Because as the Lord came personally to Simeon at the temple, he now comes personally to us here at his table. As Simeon knew by faith that he had beheld the Lord and received him into his arms, we know by faith that we too have encountered and received the Lord here, as he comes to us personally in his body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine. And so, just as Simeon knew that because of Christ, he could depart from this life in peace, we know that because of Christ, we can depart from this service in peace. We can later depart into a peaceful night's rest in peace. And when the time is right, like Simeon, we will be able to depart from this life in peace. For like Simeon, and like the shepherds and the magi, we know who that seemingly ordinary child was. For we know the good news that to us has been born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, our Savior and our peace. In his saving name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Please rise.